travel can be more than a vacation. It can be educational. What have you learned through travel? Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, December 2nd. We're going to discuss the educational benefits of travel for students of any age. Our discussion is prompted by a recent report that finds the University of Wisconsin in the top 10 of colleges nationwide for students who participate in study abroad programs. Have you ever studied abroad? What was that experience like? Why would you, or perhaps wouldn't you, recommend it to others? Even if your travel experiences weren't a part of an academic program, what educational benefits do you get from travel? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Dan Gold, the Director of International Academic Programs at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. International Academic Programs offers the largest number of study abroad programs available at UW-Madison. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks a lot for being with us. Well, as I mentioned, we heard that UW-Madison ranks 9th in the country for study abroad participation for the 2012-2013 school year. So I guess congratulations. How many students participate in study abroad programs every year?
For 2012-13, the number was 2,157 from UW-Madison going abroad.
And this is, Madison's been in the top 10 for the past many years. Why is it so popular?
Yeah, I think the main reason is UW-Madison really recognizes the value of an abroad experience and for students of all majors or all interests. So to have the support from academic departments across campus saying this is, you need to have this experience in order to develop personally, academically, and professionally, I think having that level of support and the variety of offerings abroad is what allows us to be in the top 10 for the last 8 years.
Yeah. Talk some more about the development of a student. Why is it needed?
Yeah, I mean, I think especially in today's global society, I mean, one important reason is that, you know, life and sort of almost all aspects of life and are global these days, with sort of distance and location and cultural difference no longer being barriers to success as they were in the past. And I think for students to have these experiences, to be able to, you know, navigate in these worlds so that cultural difference and distance, you know, aren't barriers to success in the future. I think everybody realizes today that's just what's needed to succeed.
Yeah. So, has this been growing over the years in terms of people participating in study abroad?
Very much so. I mean, nationally, but also at Madison, I mean, it's a steady increase. I think numbers are doubled over the last 10 years. I mean, one of the main reasons, I think traditionally, study abroad used to be known as junior year abroad. So it used to be thought that, like, if you want to study a language or a culture, you go abroad for 1 year during your junior year of college. I think now it's really in a place where the variety is endless. So it's not just for studying languages, it's not just for cultures, but for almost any subject, whether it's you know, field research in environmental conservation or physics or engineering and agricultural sciences. I mean, there are programs abroad, and they could be anywhere from a week to a year and anywhere from first year up to graduate students.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I knew people who did, who were a foreign language major, for example, and that they would, you know, whatever, they'd go to Spain if they were a Spanish major. But it's more than that, you say, that that's just a small part of it?
Well, it's still a very important part at UW-Madison, and certainly if you're a language major or want to, you know, gain fluency in a language, I mean, spending a year abroad immersed in that language is an amazing way to go towards fluency. But in addition, but not every student, you know, wants to study a foreign language, or not every, you know, if a student is a chemistry major and they really want to focus on their studies, now they have the opportunity to do that in their subject. For example, you could do lab work in the chemistry lab at National University of Singapore for a summer or semester, and, you know, where the education is all in English. So it really, you know, languages is still a great part of it, but these other opportunities are equally as available and important for students.
Talk some why a student, a chemistry student, would want to go to Singapore to do chemistry experiments.
Yeah, I mean, for sciences, I mean, part of it could be just the quality of the education. I mean, a lot of our programs are at some of the top universities around the world, so some of the reasons are not even culturally related. Some of it because in the subjects that they study, some of the study abroad opens up some of the great universities of the world for them to study with experts in their field and maybe in topics that aren't even available here. So that's certainly one reason. But also, again, because of the global nature of education these days. I mean, the large number of international students here at Madison, we're, I think, 22nd in the country in terms of incoming international. I mean, going abroad and being in sort of classroom spaces and living spaces with students from around the world sort of allows you to be able to, again, deal with people from all different cultural backgrounds in a way that's really needed, just because even in this country you're gonna have that type of exposure, and this type of study abroad experience trains you to be able to do that better.
I mentioned that we noticed the report ranking UW-Madison 9th in the country for study abroad participation, but we also saw an article in The Atlantic that made us want to talk about this. It was a woman who said that the lessons she learned from travel were ones that she could not learn in the classroom, like how to not take things like hot water or air conditioning for granted, for example, and that American values are not necessarily universal values. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I mean, one of the great things about study abroad is it really teaches you where is the balance between, you know, cultural-bound behaviors and values, as you say, our values that we have because of we are Americans, versus what are just universal values that all people share. And I think the difference, when you go abroad, I think you see both greater similarity and greater difference between those two. I mean, so the first lesson sometimes students tell to me is, oh, people are all the same. I'm amazed to find that people in China are the same as we are here. But then as they're in places longer, they also realize, yeah, but cultural difference is also very real as well. And to be able to navigate and understand those differences is one of the key takeaways from the experience.
Yeah. You also told my producer that you see companies valuing international experience in the students that they eventually end up hiring. Why do you think this is?
Yeah, because it's also the personal development that happens. I mean, it's because the intensity of the experience and sort of the... So when you have that much exposure to difference and being able to navigate and deal with those differences, I mean, it leads to very, you know, positive personal growth in areas such as self-confidence, independence, adaptability, flexibility, different ways to analyze and think about things. And I think all of those skills are things that employers find very useful.
So did you study abroad as a student?
I did. I studied first abroad in Finland as a high school student, and then I studied in China when I was an undergraduate, and I was majored in East Asian Studies.
Tell us what you think you gained from that experience that you wouldn't have had you, you know, just stayed at your brick and mortar school.
Yeah, the Chinese language knowledge and cultural knowledge certainly. But again, I think the main thing is realizing, sort of ability to analyze my own value system. I mean, when you're in a different culture and you're exploring sort of just the boundaries of how different people can be because of culture, I think that's something that I wouldn't, I've appreciated as much back here. And it's certainly, I mean, the experience and learning those differences is what sort of excited me so much. I think that's what certainly put me in this career path where I am today. So,
yeah. I noticed that UW-Madison is hosting a study abroad open house this Friday, in fact, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Red Gym on the UW-Madison campus. Who can study abroad?
For UW-Madison, most of our programs serve UW-Madison students. Some of our programs are also open from students at other schools. Most of the programs we serve, I think over 90% of the students through our office are undergraduates at UW-Madison, but there are also a few opportunities for graduate students as well.
Well, we will check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then I hope we will hear some experiences from you. Did you study abroad as a student? What did you gain from that experience? Maybe your travel wasn't a formal academic study abroad program. What did you gain from traveling abroad? What are the educational benefits of travel in your mind? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Dan Gold, the Director of International Academic Programs at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, talking with us about the educational value of travel and study abroad programs. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking with a guest from UW-Madison's study abroad program about what we can learn by leaving our home turf. Where have you traveled and what did you learn? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Dan Gold, the Director of International Academic Programs at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And the UW-Madison ranked ninth among U.S. universities and colleges in the number of students who studied abroad in the 2012-2013 academic year. So we thought we would talk about why this international experience is so valuable to students and welcome your experiences. Let's go to Yvonne in Jefferson. Hi, Yvonne.
Good morning.
Morning.
So I was an exchange student to Turkey when I was 16 as part of the American Field Service Program, and it was really life-changing. When I came back, I recognized how big the world was, and I thought, oh, some things are broken, and I need to fix them. What can I do about it as a 17-year-old? And my answer to myself was, well, I need to run for Congress, and how do you get from Congress to, you know, being get from being 17 to Congress. And the answer was going into the Air Force. And I don't think I would have gone into the Air Force if it hadn't been for AFS. And recently, a couple months ago, I was called by my local high school, Jefferson High School, and asked to participate in an interview as part of their AFS program's 50th anniversary, and I did. Went back to the school and learned that they had hosted over 90 students in the 50 years that they'd been in existence, but had sent only 14 students abroad from that high school, and none in the last 20 years. And I was shocked by that, to the point that I booked a ticket to Paris because about 2 weeks ago in Paris, AFS, the American Field Service, was having their 100th anniversary. And so I went there, and the idea in the back of my head is, okay, I'm going to have to take it up as my personal mission to encourage students, high school students, to participate in this program because obviously they don't know how it is going to change their lives. And so I went to this week-long Congress and came back with all my ideas and, you know, am on a mission to make sure that, you know, students have the opportunity. I think it should almost be compulsory in our education system. I'm glad to hear that UW-Madison is picking up the slack.
Well, Yvonne, what a great story. So you didn't run for U.S. Congress, but you're on the AFS Congress.
I guess that might be the analogy. Yeah, I when I got into the Air Force, I studied political science for a couple of years, and then just started to realize slowly, well, this is not going to be the way that I'm going to make a difference. And so I changed gears, you know, kind of that think globally, act locally, and I eventually came back. I was gone. I lived in Germany in the Air Force for 10 years, but when I came back, shortly after I was back, I ran for the county board. Does that count?
Yes.
And spent four terms on the Jefferson County Board. But it all goes back to that experience, that time that I spent in Turkey. And believe me, Turkey was not where I thought I was going. I was 16, 15 and 16 when I was applying. I was thinking Paris or London, all these romantic places, and you get your envelope. and it said you're going to Turkey. And at that time, in 1985, the only thing that we knew about Turkey was that movie Midnight Express, where the college girls get put into Turkish prison. It was not rosy. But I had, of all the people I know that went that year, I had the best experience in Turkey. And it was life-changing for me and for my Turkish family. And actually, when I was back in Paris, fortunately, my younger host sister grew up to be a lawyer and works for the Court of Human Rights in Strasbourg. And so I flew to Strasbourg first, saw my Turkish host sister after 29 years, and, you know, got to catch up on both of our families. And both of our, my older sister became an English professor and is now the head of the English department at the University of Istanbul.
Oh my
goodness.
So,
you know, it changed their lives as well.
Wonderful. Wow. And I certainly wish you luck in your mission and getting more more high school students involved in this. So what's your reaction to that, Dan Gold?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that could be me saying the same things. It's interesting because my first experience in high school was actually through AFS as well. I mean, that just brings back the memories of getting that letter because they choose the country. And I said, Finland, huh, I've heard of it before, but interesting. Yeah. And then, yeah, really, I think that first experience is what led to all these things. Yeah, that's absolutely true. I mean, I think those who have the experiences realize the importance, but the challenge still is, as high as our numbers are, at UW-Madison, that still means only about 25% of our undergraduates are studying abroad, which means the majority of them aren't. And yeah, part of it, you know, is having the programs which meet their academic needs, but a lot of it is still just communication, making sure all students know, why is this relevant to me? A lot of students, they might have heard of it before, but they just think, oh, it's too difficult to go through the process. You know, I'm already applied to go to Madison. Why would I do this extra thing as well? And yeah, so it's still, a lot of our work is still that level of education, but I think keep repeating that message about how this is really going to be one of their highlights of their college experience.
Yeah, is it a lot more expensive to do this?
Not necessarily. I mean, programs vary by price, by cost, the actual cost of the program. Many programs, though, are within range of the same cost of attendance of studying back here. So that is, you know, people who, before they start exploring programs, their first assumption is, oh, it's a lot more expensive. But a lot of programs, again, are within the same price range as studying here, and there are also many scholarships available for study abroad.
Yeah. What about Yvonne, when she mentioned that she, you know, was thinking Paris or London or someplace romantic and got Turkey, and all she knew about Turkey, of course, was what she saw in the movies. But also, you know, some countries might not, well, how should I put this? You know, there might be danger in some other countries.
Yeah, I mean, safety is, I mean, all of our programs that are through our office are approved through a very rigorous process looking at issues of academics and safety, and so there are standards of anything that's through our office. Unlike the AFS high school experience, though, that we mentioned, that UW-Madison, of course, you know, students choose which program they want to go on. And, you know, a lot of times people think about it in terms of where they want to go, but one of the questions we like to ask them is instead of where, what do you want to study? And have, you know, your academic interests sort of then determine where you might end up.
I'm Joy Cardine talking with Dan Gold, Director of International Academic Programs at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. We're talking about the educational value of travel and the benefits of studying abroad. And our next caller is Kyle in East Troy. Hi, Kyle.
Hello.
Hi, do you?
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
I served in the military for 8 years, and I'm a fourth-generation military person. Most of my travels were Southeast Asia, and I participated in a program in helping water purification in Central Africa. For why travel, the two things that I learned from it was, one, the majority of the people that I met, they weren't bent on war. They were interested in living their lives just like everybody else. And then, two, in talking with a person from Central Africa, I asked, why do you build so many of your homes with mud? And he, you know, because when rain comes, it can damage them. And as we were talking, we were riding the bus on base, and we were going past a house that had burned down, and it was being rebuilt with wood. And he asked, why do you rebuild houses with wood when they burn down? And I thought, I never thought of that before. And he goes, success. Normal is different for everybody. And just in the sense that it really tempered me in my process and my thought. And I see travel internationally, whether military or educational, as a very good antidote to war. Because if you don't understand something, that's when you respond to it with violence. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't know why. So the first rule of engagement is, if you don't have communication, assume hostility. So communication is so important. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to leave with a comment from Mark Twain that said, travel is fatal to bigotry and prejudice, and good, wholesome worldviews cannot be attained vegetating in one small part of the world. So thank you.
Thank you. Dan Gold.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's absolutely true. One of our main goals is for study abroad isn't necessarily for students to be agents of change when they go abroad, but sort of this idea of constructive engagement. I mean, to understand others really hopefully will lead to lifetime engagement of, you know, whatever their passions are, you know, to make things better in the world. That ability to, you know, look at the inside from the outside, you know, look at yourself and your own cultures from these other perspectives, I think is invaluable to, you know, whatever they wanted to do in the future.
Yeah, that was pretty powerful, too, that this travel he thought was an antidote to war.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I was talking with some students yesterday, and the one consistent thing in talking to people who's had these types of experiences is one student told me is one of the reasons they did it is almost every single person who they talked to who had experiences abroad had such a passionate response to it and about how it would be sort of an unparalleled experience. I mean, that they heard this from almost everyone who's been abroad, I think is really, I that's important. And I think really speaks to the value of the experience.
Let's go next to Jim in Viroqua. Hello, Jim. What was your experience?
Hi. Yes. I was going to school for the first couple of years after high school, and, I wasn't doing that great. I just kind of took it upon myself to look for some cheap flights down to Costa Rica and ended up going down there in the 90s probably about six or seven times and spending probably a couple of years time down there. And I just fell in love with it because of the simplicity coming from, like, Black Friday and that sort of thing that we're hearing about right now. And then going down there and being with people, just kind of traveling in the small rural towns and being pretty much accepted by everybody. And the love just being, it seemed like there was so much love and so little clutter around. So it was much more engaging with people. People weren't looking down at their iPads and phones and preoccupied with widgets. It was much more enjoyable, and it's a way of life that I try to follow now because of that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for sharing that, Jim. A reaction to that, Dan Gold?
Yeah, I mean, with so many different places for students to choose as to where they want to go, certainly one thing that people should look at is, you know, going to a place where there really is a large socioeconomic difference than their own lifestyle. I mean, I think the more differences that you expose yourself to, you know, if it's something that you're prepared to do, I think it could be a great experience. So going to a place where it really is different in terms of, you know, what's available, you know, in terms of materials and shopping and quality of life. I mean, I think the more you could expose yourself to differences, I think it's a very eye-opening experience.
So how do you think travel can change how we approach our normal lives?
Well, I guess travel, I would look at it in terms of traveling and going to places is important, but even more important than just the act of travel and visiting different places is the act of living in another place and engaging. So instead of comparing traveling life to normal life here, you know, compare normal life here to normal life in another country. So by living in another country and doing sort of everyday activities such as going to class or hanging out with friends, I mean, I think, again, it's just that difference of perspective. It's like, huh, it's sort of the same ideas here, but, you know, they approach studying a little bit differently, or what it means to be a friend in this country, in this society, is different than what it means here. And I think, again, those lessons as they bring back and sort of you integrate them into your own life. So you will, I think, you know, most people I talk to is you're changed by it. And some of the way you approach your everyday life here is different because you've seen different ways to do it in different societies.
Talk about some of the things that students have to say about their experiences abroad that they've told you.
Yeah, well, the first thing that people usually say, it was amazing and it was a life-changing experience. And then sort of I have to ask them, well, why? And that's very hard to do. I think that first level of, oh, it was so amazing, is what I hear from almost every student. But what's hard is to sort of dig down beyond that and really think about, why is it life-changing? I think one of my favorite student quotes is a student who went to India before, came back and said, I realized that I'd much rather be challenged than be content. And I thought that's a really nice way to phrase it.
Wow, that is something. meaning that he was challenged, or she was challenged in India, or saw how challenging it was to live in India or to study in India?
Yeah, I mean, because, again, lifestyle and cultural differences are so great. I mean, those are not easy things necessarily to get through on a daily basis. I mean, if you throw yourself into a way of living that's so different than what you're used to, I mean, that's not for everybody. And if I said it, that's easy, or that's something everyone should do and you shouldn't even worry about it, you know, it's something that you do have to give great thought to, because it's not, you know, you think about, this is your life, and if you're every day in a situation that previously you would have thought uncomfortable, that's a big leap for people to want to do that.
So, but talk about some of the different study abroad, the variety of study abroad programs available. I've heard China and India and others, but I mean, how do the experiences range from what to what?
Yeah, for example, if you especially now with the winter seeming, you know, colder now, if you want to spend winter break in Costa Rica learning a year's worth of Spanish, that's an opportunity. And then you can come back and study second semester Spanish in the spring. If you want to be in Freiburg, Germany, one of our longest standing programs, you could take courses in German alongside German students. If you want to take lab courses in science in Korea for a semester or a summer, you can do that. If you want to go with a UW faculty member, we have programs led by UW faculty around the world, whether it's studying history in China or studying environmental issues in Latin America.
Wow, I want to go to all of them. these are just available for students enrolled at UW-Madison, correct?
Most of them are, but some of our programs are also open to students who are enrolled in other schools around the country, either UW system or outside of the system as well. So I suggest if people go to our website, you could actually search by which ones are open but to UW students only and which ones are open to other students.
What about to aging radio talk show hosts?
That we'll have to check into that.
But I can still, I'm sure there are continuing education travel that you can do as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, people can travel, you know, on their own without a program is also obviously a very valuable experience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, certainly that's something that's available to anyone. So.
We are talking with Dan Gold, Director of International Academic Programs at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. International Academic Programs offers the largest number of study abroad programs available at UW-Madison. We are talking about the benefits of studying abroad. And we're welcoming any experiences or questions that you might have. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. So where have you traveled and what did you learn? Where would you recommend people go for an educational experience abroad? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about the educational benefits of travel and of studying abroad with our guest from UW-Madison's Study Abroad program. So where have you traveled and what did you learn? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Do you think that more students should study abroad? Why or why not? Let's take another call. Anna in Milwaukee is with us. Hi, Anna.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What is your experience?
Well, my junior year of college, I studied abroad in the Czech Republic. I went to Prague, and it was life-changing because it really opened up my eyes to my discipline. I am now a high school history teacher, and I learned so much about how different history is depending on where you are and who's presenting it. And it actually directly led to my serving in the Peace Corps. After I graduated college, I directly entered the Peace Corps and spent 2.5 years living and working in the Republic of Macedonia. And it's just completely changed how I teach and how I learn, and it was the best decision I've ever made.
Wonderful, Anna. So why do you think you couldn't have learned what you learned from a classroom here at home?
I think it's different when you're surrounded by students who were raised in a completely different environment than you and had a completely different curriculum than you did. And I was being taught by teachers from different countries. My teachers were from all over the world. And I got to see a lot of places that I had been learning about. And like when you see them firsthand, it's very different. And it was just a decision I was nervous to make at age 20, and yet one decision that I would never regret ever making.
Yeah, and she's doing what she's doing because of it, Dan Gold.
Yeah, I mean, when I hear that, I mean, I'm really overjoyed, and it strikes that it's not just you going abroad and you learning, but it's really bringing it back here. So for people who are going to be teachers back in school systems back in Wisconsin or otherwise engage with communities back here, I mean, that's an equally important part of the experience that we tend not to focus on is it's not just helping the person going abroad, then they're bringing it back here and they're changing people's perspectives and perceptions of things abroad here, and that's just wonderful.
Yeah. So what if we travel somewhere and we don't like it at all? What if we find it uncomfortable or frustrating and our lives are not changed for the better? What happens then?
Yeah, I mean, it is, again, it's not always going to be enjoyable. A lot of times, you know, there is discomfort involved. I mean, for a lot of that, I would say there's a lot of preparation that needs to go beforehand. I mean, we have trained advisors in our office that will really work with students. I mean, with over 60 offerings, programs in over 60 countries, over 200 offerings through our office, I mean, part of the process is really working with students beforehand to say, hey, what sort of experience are you ready for? Are you interested in? Do you really want to immerse yourself in a foreign language? Do you want to travel just by yourself in a local classroom, or would you be more comfortable with a UW professor and a group of fellow Badgers for maybe a 2-3 week experience abroad? And then there's, you know, a lot of orientations to prepare students as well. So part of that is really preparing them beforehand to make sure that they know what they're getting into. And then certainly some students, when they're abroad, decide this for whatever reason, this isn't for me and I want to come home, and we'll certainly can work with them to make that happen.
Yeah. James on Facebook says, I interned in London for the radio division of a major press organization 7 years ago. While it added a lot more money to my student loan debt, it was totally worth it. I got to see London and other great experiences that he had when he was there. And then my producer, director, Christy Taylor, also had a newspaper internship in Cape Town. Internships are a part of study abroad programs?
Absolutely. I mean, one thing, when people think about study abroad, it really encompasses a wide variety of types of experiences. It could be classroom-based. It could be an internship. You could be doing a volunteer work, a service learning, a field research, or a combination of all of those. And I think all of those, what everything through our office has in common is it all is for academic credit, so everything keeps you on track for graduation at UW-Madison. But all those different types of experiences are possible through it.
Christy passes along one of the moments that she remembers in Cape Town, which she describes as incredibly beautiful, surrounded by an ocean and mountains, was when she was at a grocery store and she presented her debit card to the clerk, and that clerk saw on the debit card a view of Monona Terrace across from John Nolan Drive. And she said, "This is so beautiful. Where is it?" And Christy said she never thought of her hometown as beautiful before.
Yeah, I mean, part of the the pleasures of the experience is being able to share Wisconsin to people around the world. I mean, I've been surprised in my travels around the world about how known Wisconsin and the university is in many places around the world.
Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes, as much as you gain from living in another culture, sometimes sometimes you realize, I don't know, this might be taken wrong, that your home isn't all that bad.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, the purpose isn't to go abroad and say, okay, everything here is better than where I am. I think, to come to a balance of to appreciate where you're from, but also to appreciate difference and be able to balance those two things, I think is key.
Yeah.
And it's a long process. It doesn't happen overnight.
Next, we go to Eugene in Viola. Hi, Eugene. Did you do some study abroad?
No, but I taught for the Department of Independent Schools, DODS, for 2 years in Germany.
Okay.
About 30 years ago. And it was just a wonderful experience. I'll give you a short idea. When we first got there, we had to rent. They put us up in a hotel. We had to rent an apartment. So I had to find somebody that spoke English. We ran an ad in a German newspaper. Then the gentleman we finally found an apartment. The gentleman we rented from didn't speak any English, so his daughter had to do the translating. And it was just fabulous, pretty all the way around. We held military ID, so we could take in all military tours. And we were all over Germany and France and Switzerland for 2 years' time.
Yeah,
I would recommend the program to anybody that can get interested. It was just... And the children I had in school, most of them spoke two languages, and a couple of them spoke three.
Wonderful. Thank you, Eugene. So are there opportunities for faculty to teach abroad?
Yes, certainly many of our programs are faculty-led programs where a professor would take a group of bachelors abroad as, studying in their topic of in their specialty. And that's certainly something our office helps, put together the logistics for them to make it easier for them to put together.
Let's go next to Marianne in Oshkosh. Hi, Marianne.
Good morning. How are you? I love this topic.
Well, thank you. What was your experience?
Well, I had the experience of our own children going abroad. In fact, all three of them went abroad with AFS. And then... because of that, we really caught the bug, and we hosted AFS exchange students. So over the years, we posted kids from 9 or 10 different countries, which has been great. But 5-6 years ago, when I was working on my own master's degree at UW Oshkosh, I realized that I could make it work to do a study abroad myself. And I went with a group of human service and education students on a study abroad to Greece, and we were gone for just over 2 weeks, so it was manageable in an adult working life, and a couple of the other people that were on the trip with me were able to take time from their jobs and do this study abroad, but most of the students who were with us were undergraduate students who were having it as part of their interim study period. It was terrific. We were able to do some real hands-on community service projects as we traveled, as well as getting to see the classic sites of Greece, the Greek seaside. And of course, we were, the Acropolis and, learning all of the Greek history. But being able to connect with Greek people in the way that we did by helping out in a couple of different places was really meaningful. Something that I loved was one evening we were invited to be part of an English conversation class at a university. And we we were paired up with people in the class. My partner was a Greek woman who was about my age. She and her husband and father-in-law run an independent bookstore in Athens. And we just hung out and talked. And she helped me a little bit with the Greek words I was trying to pick up, and I helped her maybe a lot more with her English because she was doing much better to begin with English. But we could have hung out together for forever. It was such an easy connection and just, you know, one of those examples of once you make that effort to connect with people and cut across those cultural differences, that they just fall away. And it was so consistent with what
Thank you, Marianne. We're losing you a little bit on the phone. I want to talk a little bit more about those connections, Dan Gold?
Yeah, I mean, it really strikes me about it. It's, you know, not every experience abroad is created equally. I mean, when you're looking to go abroad, really looking for experiences which allow for that sort of local engagement with local communities, whether it be, you know, service, language partners, or whatever, is really going to make it a richer experience. And again, I mean, everything we offer through our office is for credit. But aside from that, I mean, just if you're not a student or you want to do a non-for-credit experience, just doing a little bit of research about all the opportunities out there. There really are, you know, wonderful opportunities in countries around the world that, you know, would be suitable for almost everyone.
Wonderful. Well, in our final minute, any last words of motivation for people who might be considering a study abroad trip?
Yeah, planning is key. First of all, I would definitely encourage it, saying it's great that you've thought about about looking into this experience and just plan beforehand. Don't start start a year before you want to go. Maybe not just a month before you want to go. Again, if you're at UW-Madison, talk to your advisors. Otherwise, you know, talk to others who have been and do some research and do the right preparation. Make sure you have the right visas and all the right preparation and planning to go abroad, and just go with an open mind, and hopefully you'll have a wonderful experience.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Dan Gold, Director of International Academic Programs at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And again, UW-Madison is hosting a study abroad open house on Friday, this coming Friday, between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. at the Red Gym on the UW-Madison campus. Thanks to Christy Taylor and to Brianne Chasso for producing and directing this program. Stay tuned. We're going to talk about police body cameras in our next hour. Tomorrow at this time, some ways to find common ground on the issues raised by Ferguson. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.